You know that other old cliche that you can't love anyone else if you don't love yourself? Well, how can we love ourselves when we're angry at ourselves every minute, unconsciously, every minute, for being smaller than we are, for renouncing our gifts? But let's be honest. Who made us smaller than we are? Who made us ready soil for power to plant its crookedness in, if not our parents? If not we, parents, doing this daily, the work of the state, all unconscious, as Jeremy Bentham said so approvingly, and Alice Miller after him, shedding her light in hopes to change it. But her light was artificially dimmed. Power will shine its garish light of wrong on sycophantic outrage, on that which helps to keep us feeling small, unequal to the wrong around us. But that which shines the light on them, the power guys, that they are determined to dim. And power ensured we wouldn't get the chance to heed our Alice. But now that we've our own means to start discussing her, we must push past power's limits. We must not let them stop us from discussing Alice. Quote, parents, even if they are highly educated and have sufficient time at their disposal, are helpless when it comes to understanding their child, so long as they must keep the sufferings of their own childhood at an emotional distance. Thus, I see it as my task to sensitize the general public to the sufferings of early childhood. In Prisoners of Childhood, I took pains to point out that looks expressing disapproval and rejection that are directed at the infant can contribute to the development of severe disturbances in the adult. Every small child needs an empathic and not a controlling human being, whether it be father or mother as caregiver. An enormous amount of abuse can be done to a child in the first 2 years. The child will overcome the serious consequences of the injustice he has suffered only if he succeeds in defending himself, i.e., if he is allowed to express his pain and anger. If he is prevented from reacting in his own way because the parents cannot tolerate his reactions, crying, sadness, rage, and forbid them by means of looks or other pedagogical methods, then the child will learn to be silent. This silence is a sign of the effectiveness of the pedagogical principles applied. But at the same time, it is a danger signal pointing to future pathological development. If there is absolutely no possibility of reacting appropriately to hurt, humiliation, and coercion, then these experiences cannot be integrated into the personality. The feelings they evoke are repressed, and the need to articulate them remains unsatisfied, without any hope of being fulfilled. It is this lack of hope of ever being able to express repressed traumata by means of relevant feelings that most often causes severe psychological problems. Continuing with Alice. This perfect adaptation to society's norms, in other words, to what is called healthy normality, carries with it the danger that such a person can be used for practically any purpose. It is not a loss of autonomy that occurs here, because this autonomy never existed, but a switching of values, which in themselves are of no importance anyway for the person in question, as long as his whole value system is dominated by the principle of obedience. And interjection here. In the audio blog, Richard Aoki and the Abandonment of Children, we said that a surveillance state needs surveillance troops. It needs children, young people, willing to serve it. And that means they must be both bred and recruited. When you establish within the family the pattern that you must bend, bow to authority, you must be obedience. That obedience, as we're hearing from Alice Miller, transfers seamlessly over to the boss, over to the state. Whether that state be, as we learn from Hermann Göring, whether that state be, call itself democratic, totalitarian, communist, all of these are patterns, are ideologies of class. And when we as parents create that pattern, of responding to authority with unquestioning obedience, it is almost inevitable that they become ready soil for the recruitment of a state, because the state becomes an easy substitute for the parent in the child's training. His pattern of thought that he's learned. And when we as parents train our children in that pattern, in that mindset, we will forever be dealing with the problem, the threat of totalitarianism. It's time to move on.